Stuff with Steve Othersoul on Radio City Talk.
Let's talk Loris Karius, the Neville brothers, Jurgen Klopp. Who better to give us his words of wisdom, the sage, Neil Atkinson. Morning to you.
Sage, more onion.
Right, it's great. I'm glad you've come in today because these headlines on the back and everything that went around the press conference yesterday, it's blowing out of all proportion, this, isn't it? First of all, just a straight answer, yes or no. Should Jurgen have mentioned the Neville's name within his press conference yesterday?
Yeah, if he wants to.
I mean, he wants to.
Yeah, you've got to.
Does it help him?
I don't think he cares, and I think that that's the most important thing, is that I don't think he cares.
Yeah, I'd agree with you on that.
So I think we've got to, start sort of deciding what managers do or don't care about in that. I think he has an issue around the fact that there can be an intensity of criticism quite quickly in English football. Now, I'm not au fait enough to know about German football if it works the same way. But I think that he's aware that there's a speed with which stories develop and get out of control. I think he's probably much more annoyed with Steve Cook, for instance, than he is with the Neville brothers, because as far as he's concerned, Steve Cook was very much telling tales out of school when he said that they were targeting him and looking for him to spill shots, the goalkeeper, because I think they're...
Do you not think the quote was misconstrued from him anyway?
I think that the issue with that is that I suspect Jurgen could come on to any radio show he wants, possibly even this one, and give you a complete list of Steve Cook's strengths and weaknesses, and he would never do so. Because, you know, there's no way in which Liverpool haven't done the sort of in-depth... Liverpool scored 3 goals at Bournemouth. Liverpool have done in-depth analysis on what Bournemouth are or aren't good at. And I think... And not just Liverpool, I mean, every club does it. Every club will have that sort of information. And every club will be saying to players before games, why don't you try and do a little bit of this? Whereas to actually say that publicly, I think, is just a little bit moody. And I think it's the sign of a fella who's just got carried away. I don't want to slaughter the lads. He's just got carried away because he's made up. He scored a goal, which has helped beat Liverpool. This one, I think it's just the idea that he's battling back against... He's protecting his players. He thinks he's protected his players. He's battling back against the criticism and not just going to sit there and take it. And I think he'd do it for any of them. And I think it picks up on... In the same way that, for instance, if Philip Coutinho is fantastic, scores a hat-trick, Jurgen Klopp doesn't want to talk about Philip Coutinho. So I think he feels as though that should be gone in all directions. I don't want to talk about individuals. I want to talk about teams. I want to talk about the fact that it's a team game. I want to talk about the fact that we shouldn't give that free kick away. I want to talk about et cetera, et cetera. He doesn't want, you know, you can criticise aspects of a couple of the goals on Sunday from the front. We don't press very well for the second. It's too easy for West Ham to get through us. There's then an unlucky deflection. I think you can just got to put that one down as unlucky. Klein's nowhere. And so on and so forth, and on it goes. And I think that that's the way in which he thinks, rather than thinking to himself, well, this is what I'm going to... This is a valid thing. I think he thinks this just isn't a valid thing, and I think that's part of his covenant with his players.
But he personalised it, didn't he? And it, for me... And look, it's fine. He might think it's fine that he's done it himself, but for me, I almost didn't want him to do that. It almost gives credence to the criticism that's come his way. And also, it then engages the idea that Jimmy Carragher also offered criticism to the player himself, but actually he didn't direct anything back to Jamie Carragher.
But he did the week before.
He mentioned
Carragher the week before, yeah. So he's someone put a Carragher thing to him, and he said Carragher can say what he wants. He did mention that the week before, yeah. So I don't think that there's... I think that the issue he's got is as I say, that he wouldn't... That sort of open criticism of a footballer from former players, and he specifies with Neville, someone who's been a manager, he just thinks it's out of order. That's the beginning, middle and end of it. And I think, to a certain extent, I sort of think he's wrong, because this is the way, this is literally how England tends to operate. So he's, you know, you're not going to come in and change this entire culture. That's not what's going to happen. Is some of our punditry basic? Yes. Is Neville's, Gary? Not really, no. I mean, he's criticise people, I think, in a manner that's churlish in the past. I'll even cite another Liverpool goalkeeper. You mentioned when Phil Jagielka bangs one in against Big Side the Mick last season or the season before. You know, he tried to state that Mignolet had gone with the wrong hand, etc., etc. And whilst that may well be accurate, it was the 92nd minute of a Merseyside derby, and the Everton centre-half captain, who no one expects to even take a shot as from 30 yards, just put one in the top corner. And at some point, we've got to almost go, well, if we want there to be never any mistakes, then we want there to never be any goals, if you know what I mean. Because that's where this reductive sort of thing goes. So I think that there is...
And the same applies within the broadcasting area as well. You almost can't expect broadcasters to never make mistakes.
Exactly,
part of the beauty of a great broadcaster like Carra or Gary Neville is they're going to make mistakes with what they say, and that's what engages us.
Well, but part of the beauty of everything is that people are making mistakes. And that's the key thing, is that, you know, it's how this sort of stuff functions. And I think in general, the manager's greater issue is the fact that the goalkeepers in the last two games has been... He's not the only person, but he's been central to Liverpool dropping 5 points from winning positions. And that's a much bigger issue for the manager, and it's probably keeping him up nights in a way in which what Gary Neville says is not keeping him up nights. And I think that's to a certain extent what he's trying to put over, which is don't do this, but I'm not that bothered about you. I just need to get on with my team and I've got my job to do. And I think this is back to the idea again that there's...
It's backfired in a way, hasn't it? You've got every paper putting it all over the back pages today. It's more of a conversation than it's ever been.
Of course they have, but this is where all this becomes this. And I do think, again, I think that this very much rattles not just the Liverpool manager, I think it rattles too many football managers in general. Why is this a feedback loop? Why is this a feedback loop? Why is it the situation wherein I'm being asked at a press conference about what some other fella said who's completely irrelevant to my team?
Do you remember when it all started, all this? But in my head, anyway, it all started with Gerard Houllier in the early 2002 or something, and all of a sudden he had a breakdown about former players.
Yeah, coming out in the media and saying stuff, but that's from a Liverpool point of view. But it happened to Ferguson's gone through it. Yeah. Every manager's had to go through this in the last 15 years, and it becomes a feedback loop, and I don't understand why in that... I think that the people that we're referring to are, broadly speaking, good at their jobs. All of them. Mm. All of the people in this are, broadly speaking, good at their jobs. So I don't understand why it's back page news. It shouldn't be back page news. There's literally other things to talk about. I'd much rather, for instance, I presume that you've got the Times in front of you there. Is that Paul Joyce?
This one is.
I'd much rather Paul Joyce, who's an excellent journalist, was writing about... For instance, if you want to write about Karius at the moment, let's write about why did Liverpool end up signing Karius for 4.6 million? Were there any other goalkeepers that were being mooted? Was Karius always Klopp's man? Was that the way in which this worked? If we're going to have a conversation about Loris Karius, I'd rather come out the other side of it feeling like I know more about Loris Karius. And none of this means I know more about Loris Karius. None of it. None of it means I know more about his strengths and weaknesses. None of it's speaking to someone who worked with him at Mainz. None of it's doing all of these things. And instead, what it's doing is it's just dead easy. What are you writing about? What's the journal? What are all the journalists getting to write about? Some questions to a Liverpool manager at a press conference where he got a bit tetchy. Or what were the questions about? Some stuff some fella said on the telly. Oh, so none of it was the actual football. None of it was the footballers. That's what the questions were about. And this is, as I say, Paul Joyce is brilliant at his job. He's far better at his job than I am at mine.
He's written it quite straightly.
Yeah, yeah.
So it has with the Times. Now, take this version in the Mirror today.
Yeah,
and actually, David Maddock's written about the fact that yesterday, Jamie Carragher and Didi Haman had a war of words about it on their Twitter with each other. It's taken it to a completely ridiculous new level.
But the point is, this is where, and it sounds as though I'm criticising the journalists, and your point is that instead, I'm not criticising the journalists, because this is what their editors will want them to write about. This is the direction that things go down. And I think that, and what I'm trying to say is, I think that frustrates the managers as much as anything else. So you're not actually doing any analysis. You're writing about two people having an argument on Twitter, and you're writing about something that some other fellas have said on the telly. Now, there's ways in which we can find out more about whether or not Loris... Because what I want to know at the moment is Loris Karius any good? That's what I want to know.
Well,
I don't want to.
We've all got a viewpoint, haven't we?
But I don't know. I don't know the answer to it. And the reason why I don't know the answer to it is I've only watched him keep goal 9 times, but he's played over 100 league games. Mm. So is he actually any good?
Well, he's been very good, hasn't he, in Germany?
Well, how do you know?
Well, all right, I'm told he's been very good.
Exactly.
By people who know their
like
football.
Like who?
Lutz. I'll make Lutz.
Lutz
he's
likes
watched him a lot.
Yeah,
he thinks
likes
he's very good indeed.
What does he think he's good at?
Jürgen told me he was very good.
What does he think he's good at, though? Because I remember when he came over...
Playing in the German League. That's what he thinks he's good at.
I remember when he came over, for instance, there was the feeling he was an exceptionally confident goalkeeper who would come for stuff and would demonstrate...
A certain set of virtues.
It was out there. Now, I don't know if it's true or not.
But he would come for balls, because he doesn't look that sort of player at all, does he?
He doesn't. But that was one of the things that was said. All the ways. And I think a lot of this was myth, and I think a lot of it was whispers. And I think a lot of it was because, in much the same way as this, a number of people got themselves stupidly wound up over the fact that Big Side of Meg was rubbish, and he wasn't. He's actually quite good. Now, he's not brilliant. He's somewhere between the fifth and the tenth best goalkeeper in the country. That's it. That's what he is. He's not brilliant. I'm not saying for a second he's brilliant. He's one of the. He's somewhere between 5 and 10 in the country. It's that straightforward. Yeah. So what happened was loads of people got really wound up that he was awful, and he was never awful. He had a bad run for a while, but he's never been an awful goalkeeper. So this fella, when he comes in...
But the manager wasn't affected by those thoughts, was he? No. The manager's quite an individual, self-focused person.
And the manager was comfortable enough to keep him in goal at the start of this season whilst Karius was injured. The manager didn't bomb him out in the summer. The manager gave him a new contract whilst he was at Liverpool. It's worth pointing that out. But he felt he wanted to replace him with this guy. Now, that's fine. But what happened was, in the collective memory, that became that this fella's, all of his strengths were all of Mignolet's weaknesses, very conveniently, because there was this sort of feeling that no one in that ground could tolerate watching Simon Mignolet keep goal for another second. That's literally the sort of point that it had got to in everyone's heads, because everyone's heads had gone. Because what there wasn't was calm, salient, rational analysis. What there was instead was just complete intolerance towards this fella.
That's football in the modern day, isn't it?
This is what the whole thing's talking about, and this is what the manager's talking about. Because what the manager doesn't want, and the reason why he's kicking off when you go right the way through, is he wants to, and the reason why he mentions the Neville brothers, I think he mentions the Neville brothers, is what he's trying to say is he's trying to put a message out to the Liverpool crowd, which is, if you start making this fella's life as intolerable as you did Big Size, you're doing what a Manchester United player wants you to do. So don't do that. Get behind him. Because I think one of the reasons why the manager wanted a change of goalkeeper was he's a manager who seems very, very open to what crowds do at football matches. And it's fair to say that the Liverpool crowd has a massive issue with Simon Mignolet. A massive issue with one. Because he had made mistakes as Liverpool goalkeeper. And I think what the Liverpool manager's trying to say is, do not do that with this fella as well. Give him the chance and give him some time.
But they've done it already.
But has the crowd done it already? No, it's nowhere near Big Si levels. If Big Si had kicked a goal kick out for a corner, there'd have been a pitch invasion with fellas on the cop trying to batter him.
No, you're right. But the actual noise outside of Anfield.
But he doesn't care. He doesn't care about outside of Anfield.
He doesn't. But the keeper will, won't he? I don't know if the keeper will or not.
But the manager doesn't, and this is what the manager's trying to say to the people who are going to watch Liverpool matches, is do not get on this fella's back like a Manchester United player wants you to. And that's why he names them. That's why he goes out of his way to name them, because that's what he's trying to say. His entire quote is, these fellas have got no interest in helping Liverpool. Think about that fact. They've got no interest in helping Liverpool. They want to do the opposite, so think about what they're saying. When you go through his quote, that's actually what he's saying. And the reason why he's saying it is because he does not want the atmosphere on this goalkeeper to be like it was on the last one. And the way it was on the last one was utterly ridiculous. It was utterly ridiculous the way in which it was on the last one at Anfield. It was ridiculous. It was bang out of order. And I still don't know. I know how good Si the Mig is. 5th to 10th in the country. I don't know how good that fella is.
Right, let's talk individual points on him then. Give me 3 good qualities, thumbs up qualities that go around Loris Karius that we are thinking he can build on.
His hair. There's the fact that he clearly wants to come for the ball. They feel comfortable knocking it back to him. They feel comfortable having him as the 11th player on the pitch. Yeah. That's quite clearly the case. I think he's been, whilst he's not great for the second goal at the weekend, I think he's come out and made himself big 3 or 4 times. For instance, he does it at Crystal Palace. He did it against Bournemouth. He makes a very good save against Bournemouth. I think a couple of times he's actually failed to do it, but I think it's something that he can work on and can grow. And then beyond that sort of point, I'm struggling. But part of the reason why I'm struggling is he hasn't had a ton to do.
Well, I think that is the crucial point, isn't it? Because let's get to the nitty-gritty of this. It's not like he's been bombarded.
No.
Match in, match out.
And this is where, for instance, the fact that he's looked both against Bournemouth and against West Ham like he's got no wrists is slightly problematic. And because he hasn't had... For instance, their goalkeeper, West Ham's goalkeeper, is dreadful for the second goal. I mean, he's dreadful. Mm. Is he messing? But then he makes that save from Henderson. And so he makes that save from Henderson, and everything then is forgotten about that second goal, because the save he makes from Henderson is just absolutely top draw. That's one of the few goals where the keeper would be within his rights not to move, because Henderson sent it out so wide of the post and it's swirling back in. And if anything, it comes back in too much. If it comes back in a little less, it's in the top corner. You know, it's the fine margins and it's in the top corner. It's 3-2 and everyone's saying that Henderson's brilliant and he's a great captain. Doesn't happen that way. But he makes that save. So he gets himself out of jail. No one talks about the clangor. Everyone talks about the save. And the Carrier's problem is he still hasn't made that save. And he's going to have to start making them. And in the meantime, he's going to have to start saving what he should. And he should really save that from Payet. And every aspect of it's wrong. And that's where it's concerning. And it's concerning because I was stood in the cop, so I'm literally 110 yards away from him. And I can see the wall, don't know what it's meant to be doing. His starting position, it's wild. I haven't even got proper proportion. I'm stood behind it. And everyone around me was...
Well, starting positions are basic elements, aren't they? I mean...
Everyone around me was like, what's this fella doing? And as soon as it left Payet's foot, I said it's there. As soon as it was clearly going to get over the wall, I said it's there. And even then, he still doesn't get down to it quickly enough. And I think that what's concerning about the free kick is, it's not one moment of madness. In that, it's not you know, throwing one in over the line. It's not a grabbler. It's every aspect of it.
How long would you give him? How long do you sort of persevere with it? People are talking about, should there be new keepers brought in? That seems a bit excessive at this point in time.
Well, it doesn't seem excessive necessarily because I think
that's... Well, I'd go back to Simon Mignolet personally. I'd just take the pressure off him personally. Just give him a breather. Simon played great at the start of the season. Well, when you made the change, you said it wasn't necessarily about having number ones. You said it was about having...
He then said he was his number one. He was going to get the next 10 games. I think he's got to... I think that if he makes the change, he can't then change back. That's the thing. So I think that if he doesn't want to put Simon Mignolet in goal...
Is that a psychology confidence crisis area you get into then?
No, I think it's very difficult for some... I think it goes the other way now. I think what you can't do is... What's our next game? Our next game is Middlesbrough. So I think what you can't do is bring Simon Mignolet in and then not be saying to Simon Mignolet, you've got the next 10 games. Mm. Because no matter what happens, you've got the next 10 games. Because I think, and this is why goalkeepers is difficult, and this is why it's a complex position, because I think you want... Goalkeepers are going to make mistakes. All of them do. Absolutely all of them. De Gea has made a few. De Gea made a very, very high-profile one in the Europa League last 16, last season, when he basically says to Phil Coutinho, do you want to just put it here, mate? Because I can't save it there. Yeah. And I think that... But David De Gea goes into every game of football knowing he is playing the next one with absolutely no shadow of a doubt. So he doesn't... He has lots of things to worry about, what his defenders are doing in front of him, what the opposition are doing, where his starting position is, what's he up to every minute when he's playing football. That's what he's got to worry about. What he hasn't got to worry about is, I'm one error away from being dropped. And I think if you bring Mignolet in and you're not bringing him in on the assurance that he's got the next 10, 12, and you possibly even have to say till the end of the season, league games... That he's got the run of the league games. I think if you bring Mignolet in, then you've got to say to him, you've got till the end of the season now, mate.
You've got a bigger problem, haven't you? Right, very quickly, Nicky Doran's tweeted in.
Hiya, Nicky.
Regarding the Liverpool keepers, why aren't people questioning John Achterberg? All keepers we've had under him have deteriorated. Now, I only hear great things about John Achterberg. I don't hear anything about
John Achterberg. I hear lots of things about John Achterberg, but none of them are based upon any fact. So have they deteriorated? I think Pepe Reina was very much on a downward slope in every aspect.
Is this to do with John Achterberg? I used to hear this about Joe Corrigan. John
Achterberg, I think Pepe Reina was already on a downward spiral. I don't think Big Si the Mig is that good, and we don't know about this fella yet, and that's just in general. I don't think I've looked at any of them and thought... I mean, Pepe Reina was a brilliant goalkeeper, but by the time Achterberg gets him, he's very much going backwards, and he continues to go backwards over a period of time. And I think a lot of that was due to Pepe Reina staying at Liverpool too long. It wasn't necessarily due to anybody who was coaching him. And my worry on the... Listen, John Achterberg could be awful and he could be the problem, but I've got literally no information to base that on. I've got nothing I can be sure of. Whereas this fella's only been working with John Achterberg for however long, and if he's deteriorated that much already, then that's hugely concerning, isn't it? Anyway, that he shouldn't. And so I have a massive can't know issue, and I think that might be a little bit unfair. But I think in general, you know, for instance, we went knocking around last season saying that Christian Benteke needs more help and better coaching. We were saying, Nick, it looks like Christian Benteke is not going to fit at Liverpool.
Steve Hoddersall's kickoff. This is Radio City Talk.